The reading is Mark 4, 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
So this morning we're continuing with our series called Invited. We've been thinking about this theme from Mark for the last couple of months. And today we're reaching a key point in Mark where his friends, his disciples are challenged. And they're challenged to think about what it means to have trust in him. So we find ourselves in a boat today, don't we, on Lake Galilee. What a restful evening the disciples must have anticipated as they clambered into their boat. I reckon they were pretty exhausted. They'd had a few very busy days trying to keep up with Jesus and all the amazing things he was doing. But now they were on the sea. That all that demanding crowd pressure had gone. They were back in their boats, and for the fishermen among them, I reckon they felt quite chilled and in control, an environment that they were familiar with. A peaceful evening before them, a lovely sail, life at an even keel. And I love that little detail in Mark that just describes how Jesus took that moment just to have a bit of a rest, a bit of a break, and he's asleep there on a cushion. Isn't that a lovely description in the stern of the boat? And it's a brilliant image, isn't it, of life when everything is great, symbolised by able to be asleep on a cushion in a boat, a picture of tranquility, no worries, no stresses, space to have rest. And I reckon it was a moment of kind of normality, maybe, a time to catch up with friends together. And it must have been a moment that they were enjoying their company as friends with Jesus as he rested in the boat. And our lives can be a bit like that, can't they? Sometimes for long periods of time, we can just get on and live. All is well, life at an even keel, working, sleeping, eating, sharing our lives with others. Life is good then, isn't it? But then within a moment, that tranquility was broken. No more ordinary sailing trip. And Mark tells us that a furious squall suddenly appeared. And then there was water pouring into the boat. It was swamping them. And in an instant, the boat had become a place of anxiety, a place of panic. You can almost hear the waves, can't you, as you read Mark's story. If you close your eyes, you can hear the sound of the wind, the boat dropping and falling, the sailors frantically trying to hold it steady. If the boat went down now, everything would be lost. And Mark tells us that even these experienced fishermen were terrified. They were frightened. And then they turned on Jesus. "Jesus, wake up. How can you be asleep? Jesus, we're going to die. Where are you? Can't you see the danger in this? Jesus, what are you going to do about it? Where are you, Jesus? Help us. Don't you care? You sense their anguish, don't you? I think I would have been pretty frightened myself. And at this moment of crisis, it seems like their insecurities had just come to the surface. You can really hear that in that term, Jesus, don't you really care? Doubt creeps in. Trust in Jesus evaporating in the crisis of the moment. And we get this insight into this really uncomfortable moment of faith for Jesus' friends, maybe pushed to the limit. And these storms of life, they can appear from nowhere, can't they? An unexpected diagnosis. Maybe the death of a loved one. A broken promise. A humiliating work situation. Unexpected financial losses. Maybe a loss of independence. I could go on. And as I look amongst us now in our church family, I know that many of you have experienced these types of storms in your life, and some of you are experiencing them now. You're in the middle of them. The storms of life, how they shake us, how they rattle us, how they can overwhelm us, and how they sometimes shake our trust in Jesus. And this story is really honest, isn't it? I like Mark's honesty in this story, because he doesn't gloss over the disciples' anguish. He doesn't ignore the difficult question that they ask Jesus about whether he cares. And in fact, Mark is none too flattering, actually, in his gospel as you read it through about Jesus' disciples. Many scholars suggest that Mark was actually writing down the memories of the Apostle Peter. And Peter himself knew, didn't he, the struggles that he had and his friends in trusting to Jesus, despite all they saw and all they had experienced when they were with him. But there's also something quite encouraging about their response, because did you notice that in their moment of need, the first thing they did was they go to Jesus, don't they? They wake him up. So this is not a story about giving up on Jesus. In fact, it's a story about engaging with him in the centre of the storm. And Jesus intervenes, doesn't he? He does this amazing thing. He wakes. He rebukes the wind. He stills the waves. All those things are incredible. What a miracle. But he also does something else, something really significant. He offers his followers an invitation to trust him more, to have faith. And he can do that because he shows them that he is divinely trustworthy. So, what do I mean by this, divinely trustworthy? Well, you see, the thing is, humans, however much we try, we cannot control the weather, can we? I know we try, but we can't stop a storm. Last Remembrance Sunday at the village, we were really praying that it wouldn't rain, but we didn't have control over the weather, did we? But Jesus can, and he did. He was able to still a storm and calm the waves. And all he did was he just spoke the words, be quiet, be still, and it was calm. We're so familiar with this story, aren't we? But I wonder if you've ever thought about how extraordinary this action of Jesus was. And the disciples realised this. They were rightly in awe of Jesus, because they knew that no human has ever been able to control the natural world in this way. But they knew that God could do that. They knew from their scriptures, from the story of Genesis, that before the creation of the world, the earth was formless. It was empty and a place of chaos. God intervened and he created. He brought form and order and beauty. And they knew of Noah, surrounded by the flood water, stranded in an ark. But God intervened and he sent a wind over the earth and the flood receded. And they knew of the Israelites escaping from Pharaoh, chariots behind them, trapped by a mighty river before them. But God intervened and he held the waters back so that his people could pass across them. And I could go on and on, looking at the Old Testament, pulling out stories of how God is fully in control of the world he created. You only need to go to the Psalms, don't you, or read Job, to find these lovely words that tell us that God can do these things. But here in the story of Mark, Mark tells us that the disciples encounter Jesus doing this, rebuking the wind and telling the waves to be still. And he speaks these lovely words of peace and calm. Jesus brings order to the chaos, the very actions and characteristics of God. And in that miraculous moment, Jesus not only physically saves them, but he showed his disciples who he was. Because only God had the power and has the power to do that. This is a moment of pure awe in Mark's gospel as Jesus' nature is revealed. Fully human, Jesus, a man who was tired and needed to sleep after a busy day of ministering, but also Jesus, fully divine, able to still a storm and calm the waves just with a simple word of instruction. No wonder Mark describes the disciples as being awestruck, full of reverence. It's like a curtain's been pulled back just for a moment and they come face to face with Jesus in all his glory. It must have been a real moment for them as that happened. And this story is quite intriguing because in a lot of Mark's accounts, Jesus tries to conceal his identity, particularly earlier on in the story. He avoids public attention. Yet here in the story here, towards the beginning of Mark, it's like the kingdom of God, it just can't be contained. It's beginning to break through and God's sovereign power is being unleashed. It's spilling out. It's beginning to impact on people's lives. Jesus, the Messiah, the one in control, the anointed one, the Son of God, the Lord of all. They're all words that Mark used to describe Jesus, our Lord Jesus. And Mark's account, it just keeps happening, doesn't it? As you start to read through, some of you might have done that, reading through Mark. There's a casting out of dark evil spirits bringing peace and sanity into a man's life, the very next story. Then there's the raising of a little girl back to life, Mark 5. There's the multiplication of food and walking on water, Mark 6. Keep reading and you'll see more and more of Jesus' divine ability coming in and smashing the forces of darkness and death and chaos in Mark. And yet, this divine intervention, it didn't stop there, did it? Mark describes how Jesus took a journey up to Jerusalem. But this time the storm isn't a raging sea. It's in the darkness of angry men plotting. It's in the chaos of an angry crowd as they condemn Jesus. It's in the pain of an excruciating execution on a cross. It's in the death of Jesus. Not asleep now, but slumped on a cross. The disciples must have thought then, all was lost. Jesus, where are you? Yet, Yet 3 days later, we hear those familiar words from this story coming through in a garden, but this time it's to a group of terrified women. Don't be afraid. Words of reassurance and calm, banishing the darkness. You see, Jesus, who could conquer storms, could also conquer death. Jesus was risen. And then that same bewildered, fearful, reverent, awe-filled response from the women. Wow, how can that be? So this story of Jesus stilling the storm, it's an extraordinary story, isn't it? Because it gives us a glimpse of the power of Jesus. And it's almost like a tantalising taste of what's going to come later on when Jesus' power and divine significance is fully revealed at the resurrection. God's kingdom is breaking through. But I mentioned at the beginning, there's also something really profound about this story because it's personally really challenging. Jesus doesn't just carry out this amazing miracle, does he, and then go back to sleep. Instead, he invites the disciples to respond to what they've just experienced. And he uses this amazing miracle of faith to build their faith, and he offers them an invitation to follow him more deeply. It's not a moment where they can just sit on the fence or keep their heads down, but they're challenged to respond, to make a choice to follow Jesus. Jesus asks them some questions which make a claim on their life. They challenge the amount of trust. They ask his friends how much trust they have in him. Two very simple questions. Why are you so afraid? And that word means timid or cowardly. Why are you so afraid, Jesus says. And then, do you still have no faith? I wonder what it was like for them to receive, to be on the receiving end of those questions. I have some sympathy, really, for Jesus' friends. They've not just been through this really frightening experience and nearly died, but now they're having to answer a really challenging couple of questions from Jesus. And they're questions that demanded some deep soul-searching thinking about who Jesus was and whether they did really trust him. And I like this, that these questions are an important element of the story, because it's as if Jesus is using them to invite his friends into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with him. His questions compelled them to look deep inside themselves in their heart. And he challenged them to face their fears. Jesus loved them enough not to let this opportunity go without drawing them closer into him. And these questions are quite profound, aren't they? Because they encourage his friends to move from a position of fear into a posture of trust. He invited them to make a choice to trust him with their lives. That's really challenging, isn't it, to think about that. Right in the middle of that crisis, he encourages them to know him more, to trust him more, to trust him with their lives. You could say he was calling them into a life that was fearless, without fear. And we all need lives like that, don't we? I long to live a life that is fearless. When I was pondering on this passage, it took me back to a memory that I had as a child when I was about 8 or 9. I used to go to the local football with my dad. And it was a great example of life is all is well. It was a good time to be with him. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was those years when you stood on the terraces, you know, surrounded by lots of football fans, amazing noise in the stands, And I can remember it now as I think about the sounds and the noise of enjoying that with my dad. But then, all of a sudden, one Sunday, things turned nasty. People around us started to throw glass bottles. And you can imagine, like, as a small child, with all those adults around you, with raised voice, quite a lot of choice language going on, noise and glass shattering, how that must have felt. Potentially, it was really dangerous. And I think if I'd been on my own, I would have been really frightened and intimidated. But you know what? I wasn't. I wasn't frightened. And I went back to think about that. Why would that be? And then I realised it was because my dad was there. My dad was there in the centre of that experience, and I trusted him. I knew that he loved me and that he would look after me. And of course he did just that. With the support of a big tall policeman, I can remember just being lifted off my feet and put over the barrier into a safe part of the stand. And then all was well. It was calm, it was safe. In the midst of the chaos, I trusted my dad. And that memory, it just reminded me of the richness that Jesus is calling us into in this story, of living by faith in him, trusting in him. You see, it's a way of living that isn't filled with fear, but instead is free to trust because Jesus is with us. Jesus who cares for us, who draws us deeper into knowing him. Jesus who has the power over the storms of life. Jesus who can be trusted. Jesus who defeats the power of darkness and chaos and death. Jesus who rose again to bring us life into eternity. So this story is telling us that we don't need to be afraid. We just need to receive Jesus' invitation to trust and believe in him, even in the storms of life. So as we finish up now, there might be some here where those questions are really helpful for you today to think through. Why are you so afraid? And do you still have no faith? I wonder if you know Jesus yourself. Do you know the one who is in control? If not, maybe it's time to seek him and look for him in the midst of your storms. And for those of us that are in the midst of storms at the moment, can you testify to Jesus being at work? Can you see him there, even in the most unlikely places? Because he's there. And those of us who are frightened today, are you able to hear Jesus say to you, why are you so afraid? I'm here. I'm here. Last week, Hilary and I were involved in some mission training. And interestingly, a very similar question came to us at that point, just slightly different, but it made me think about it in a slightly different way. The question was, if you weren't afraid, what would you do? It's an interesting thing to think through, isn't it? That if you weren't held by fear holding you back in a situation or a relationship, what would you be able to do? And I found that really liberating. It made me think a lot about mission here. And what we're doing, are we afraid? Do we need to think about letting that go and where that might take us? But that might be a really helpful question for you this morning. If you weren't afraid, what would you do? So this story is an amazing miracle, isn't it? It reveals to us the glory of Jesus. But it's also a challenging one because it requires a response from us too. How are we going to respond today to Jesus' invitation to be fearless and to trust him this morning? So as I finish now, there's a prayer that I have for each one of us, and I pray for myself too. Let me just pray for us. Lord Jesus, we just come into your presence, lifting up to you our lives. Whether it might be a time when all is well, or maybe when there's storms around us, we give those situations to you. And may we know your presence, the one who is able to bring calm into the midst of it all. The one who brings order to chaos, Lord Jesus. Who can speak words of peace into our lives. And who invites us to trust you more. Help us to be people who trust in you. Amen.